Which is Madam, she can call Easton Easton. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we are grateful to God because He is good to us. And so we just ask His great blessing to continue to flow here in His presence. Ask that He speaks to our hearts and that the Word just goes all over. We're grateful to You, God, and we praise You for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. We do want to pray for Cheryl, too. She woke up not feeling well this morning, so we pray. She prayed that by the time Wayne gets home, she will be running and not growing weary. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I think that outside of the church, there's always those things about, you know, what's your plan? People run into the thing, what's my purpose in life? Why am I alive? All that kind of stuff. And we are not like those who have no hope. We have answers. Jesus has answers to those questions, and they're really simple. Actually, those questions become sometimes more burdening to Christians than to people in the natural, because Christians can get caught in that bogged down, that overwhelming, you know, am I doing what God wants? I look at it this way. God is God, and so God's perfectly capable of directing us. All we have to do is be directable. We present ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. We just present ourselves to Him. And then we can know, I presented myself to You, Lord, please guide me. And, you know, as You're guiding me, I'll be listening, I'll be seeking, I'll read Your word, I'll pray, you know. I'll do those things, but I'm going to do those intentionally. And I'm going to do those as I go along. It's going to be my lifestyle. Okay? And so if it is our lifestyle, then we can rest. We can rest in the Lord. We can rest in that. Paul said in Philippians 4:9, he said, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me, everything you saw me doing. So put into practice everything you learned from me, so that then when the question comes to their mind, well, what did we learn from Him? He said, well, everything that you heard from me and everything that you saw me doing. Isn't that just a repeat of what Jesus told them? Everything that you've heard, go and spread it. Everything you've seen me do, these and greater things than these will you do also, because I go to the Father and because I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And so it was real simple. Paul just said, keep putting it in practice. He didn't say, put it in practice after you've done this, 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 and this. He said, just put it into practice. Just put it into practice. So if we go back to the source, who is Jesus, what was Jesus doing? He was representing God, right? Jesus was the express image of the Godhead bodily. In other words, He came to earth to reveal to us the character and the wisdom and the desires of God. So He came to erase the law and every other thought, you know, all the stuff. Because people, if you have never, then you have never talked to somebody who wanted to have an excuse against the Bible. If you have talked to somebody, they always want to say, well, if God is love, then how come all that stuff happened in the Old Testament? I don't know. But it was given for us to learn something from. It seems a little harsh to go into a land and kill everybody in the land. But I'm not going to figure out why He did that, but it's easy for me to see why it's important that we put to death all those things that rise up against God. Why we separate ourselves from people that will not acknowledge God, who try to discredit God, who try to, you know. I mean, we don't not be around them, but we just do not let them influence us. Just see, that's what's happening. That's what happened to us before we came to know Christ, and that's what happened to generations now. We send our kids to college, and they're seated with people who are rejecting the truth and causing them to question. See, you don't have to question very much before you can find yourself going down a rabbit hole. You don't have to give in to much of a question. It doesn't even have to be a big question, just a tiny questioning of God. Just a tiny doubt about your own walk with God. Where will it take you? Down the steps into the basement. Oh, I don't know. You know, this week I was looking and I was just reading about trusting God, and I just had this thought come. I said, "Do I trust God?" I think I trust God. But then I asked, "Can He trust me?" I think so. Now, either one of those questions, you can follow them down into a pit, or you can follow them up into the heavenlies. You see, because do I trust God? I don't trust God enough. That must be it. God doesn't think I trust Him enough. That's why that question came into my mind. Or maybe the question just came so I could say, boy, there's always room for improvement. Or sometimes I think, ooh, if I'm wondering about if I trust God, I'm thinking, what's coming? Must be a reason. I better hone in. Hone in that trust. Get ready for it. You know, I mean, when winter begins to end and spring begins to come, I start thinking, I should do some squats because I got to be able to hold up the motorcycle. You know, do some stretches. Let's keep going. You know, I mean, got to get ready for it. Every time I do that, I think, why in the world do I wait till spring to do that? But you see, I used to do it year-round. And I tell myself I'm going to get back at it. But I don't get back at it like I want to. And so, I'm not putting into practice all the weightlifting I used to do. I'm not putting into practice all the running that I used to do. And I can attribute some of that to age. You know, I mean, I can excuse that. But I don't want to excuse it, because if I get to the point where I just excuse it and it doesn't matter, I ain't going to be able to ride that motorcycle. But physically, that's not a big deal. Spiritually, I'm without excuse. Spiritually, all I have to do is put it into practice. And if I'm putting it in practice, then I am confident that it's accomplishing that which God wants it to accomplish. I put into practice praying, because that keeps me close to God. I put into practice reading His Word, because reading His Word stimulates me to stay closer to God. I put those things into practice. Just put them into practice. And put them into practice. And then be prepared at every opportunity to defend the hope that is within me. So I put my hope into practice. Just put it into practice. The results belong to God. They do. They do. This morning I was praying and I said, Lord, we need more miracles. Just because the miraculous, you know, Jesus spoke to that woman at the well. And she was impressed. And she went home. And they came out and they were impressed. I never thought about this before, but you know, they begged Him to spend a couple more days. The disciples were wondering what in the world He was doing talking to that Samaritan in the first place. And now they're going to spend 2 days with Him? What in the world is going on here? What's going on here is that anybody who desires God, we should spend the time with to help them. tell you what, the people that taught Vicki and I, that had the patience with Vicki and I, or with me more than anything, because I needed a lot of patience, you know, when they started with us, they had no idea what a reprobate I was. If they would have, they might have thought that this wouldn't last. Actually, I don't think that they ever knew what a reprobate I was. I don't know that we discussed what a reprobate I was, unless Vicki talked to them about it. I'm not sure about that, but you know, I mean, had they known, they might have said, well, what's this Samaritan dog doing at a Bible study? But they were just doing what they needed to do. That's all that we need to do, is do what we need to do. We are representatives of God. One scripture calls us the ambassadors for Christ. Okay. An ambassador knows what the people that they represent want. If they do their job right, they simply represent the authority that they are under. Now, if they don't do their job right, they can cause a lot of problems. But we, as ambassadors for Christ, as representatives of Christ, we're just do whatever we do as heartily unto the Lord. So the only question we have to ask ourselves is, am I doing this unto the Lord? If I'm doing it as unto the Lord, then godliness with contentment is great gain. If I'm not, I can fix it. Back in chapter 3, Paul was talking to them and he said, okay, we've got to hold on. This is verse 3:16. We've got to hold on to the progress that we've already made. Just hold on to the progress we've made. How do you hold on to the progress we've made? You maintain it. And then you can also answer the question, boy, if I haven't made progress, that's not God's fault, is it? How do I progress? Paul said, in Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's just a verse until it becomes a life. What percentage of people who say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, do you think really mean it? Lately there was a young gal put up a post about God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. You know, people love that verse, only they love it backwards. They love to say, well, God's just stacking this on me. That's not what that verse is for. That verse is an escape, not a sentence. It's a guarantee that He is watching over us, that He is not causing the problem, but that He is opening the door to exit the problem. So instead of saying, God won't allow more on me, and thinking, God, you're just allowing too much, instead we're saying, wait a minute. The scripture says God will not allow this. Since God won't allow it, I'm walking out of it. This is not from God. God's not stacking things on me. The enemy puts a boulder on and he throws two off. You know, when I was a kid, and when you were a kid, you probably played that dog pile game where everybody would jump on, you know, and if you were at the bottom, that was a pretty weighty thing. And you didn't really notice if one got off. Because there was still too much on you. And you didn't really notice if two got off. It was when that last one got off that you noticed it. So what if we just know that God is pulling them off of us? And whether we can feel the difference or not makes no difference. God is doing what he has promised to do. He's picking things off. We have a tendency not to notice what's being pulled off because all we can see is the next thing that's coming on. Somebody will say, well, this happened to me. And now this. Well, the first thing's gone, right? Yeah, but God just keeps stacking. God's not stacking it on. I cut my toe when I was a really little kid. So? It was a traumatic thing. So? I was running around the yard and I was barefoot and I just hit the sidewalk and it cut my toe. And my mom and dad hardly even noticed. There I was bleeding and they hardly even noticed. So? But you know what? If that becomes more than a so, 25 years later, somebody will take you into therapy and bring up that memory and explain to you why you have these feelings. You have those feelings because you focused on the wrong thing. That's why Paul said, look, you know, put into practice everything that you have seen, everything that you've seen me do, everything that you've heard me say. Put into practice, as Christians, what are we? New creatures in Christ. We have been made new in Christ. Old things have passed away. We have a new source. We have a new opportunity. Otherwise, it'd be like somebody gets a new job, and it's a great job, and it's in a different place. But they just can't enjoy that new job because there was so much problem at the old one. Now I remember what they did to me at that job. Still thinking about what happened at that job and allowing it to affect the new job, which is wonderful. But everything is suspect about the new job because this happened at the old job. You understand what I'm saying? We need to enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into God, totally into God. Let old things go. And put it into practice. Keep putting it into practice. I said in the devotion, I used to shoot pool, and I shot a lot of pool, and I did pretty good at pool. And then I just didn't have time for pool. But a funny thing would happen. Sometimes I didn't have time for it, but somebody would be playing, and so I'd go to shoot a game of pool. And man, the first game, it would seem like everything that I ever did before, I was doing better. Like, wow, this is amazing. But you didn't want to start betting on the second game after the first game. Because all of a sudden, the lack of practice would show up. It would be like being out in the yard and taking off running as hard as I could after a grandchild. And doing it really well. And then, hamstrings, quads, falling apart. Lost my head, took off sprinting, didn't realize that my lungs didn't want to sprint anymore, didn't realize that you don't just take off sprinting any longer, Roger. You've got to stretch a little bit and paying the price. Why? Because I hadn't been putting into practice everything that I needed to actually do that. Maybe it was good for 15 seconds, but it could be bad for me for the next 15 days. That's physical. Spiritually, though, if we just put it into practice, and we can rest in the Lord. You know, there's a multitude of advertisements you can see where, you know, you just buy some pills. You don't have to do anything anymore. It'll take off your fat, make your muscles defined. Just buy this, man. Just buy this. I will tell you, I've tried a couple of those. They don't work. But there was hope to begin with. Their hope is that you won't take them up on their guarantee. Their hope is that you'll be so embarrassed that you didn't do everything else you were supposed to. Oh, no, no, I'll take them up on their guarantee. Send me my money. But God's promises are yes and amen. Paul said, put it into practice. If you put it into practice, it's going to work. Just put it into practice. The enemy says, well, you can't pray. You had a bad attitude yesterday. You can't pray for somebody. Well, that enemy's stupid. Well, actually, he's smart. He's going to get us not to pray. But God said, just put it into practice. Because when you put the Spirit of God, the power of God, the Word of God into motion, it accomplishes that which God sent it to do. And it doesn't go, let's see, you had this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, because it's not about you, it's about Him. And as we put it into practice and we see the results, we get the confidence. I mean, I try to imagine Paul after suddenly seeing the light, walking into the group and said, let's get this show on the road. Do you think he was a little nervous? Do you think maybe a little hesitant? Yes, he had seen the light, but they knew what he was like. But what could he do? We got to do this thing. God's told me we got to do this thing. Barnabas was the only one that, come on, let's give him a break. The rest of them were going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to come in here and tell us we need to get busy? Who do you think you are to tell us we need to get busy? Paul said, I'm nothing, but Christ is everything. We can either sit around and see if I'm ready, or we can just go and do this thing. How will you ever know if it's ready if you don't do it? And when you pray, believe that He hears you. Pray with expectancy. Put it into practice. Keep a firm hold on the things that you've accomplished. Keep a firm hold on where you are. You know, if you recognize that you're sliding downhill, dig in. Don't give up. Physically, you know, I've told the story about skiing, and it didn't take me long to figure out that if I was going to get where I was supposed to go, the best way for me was to lay on my back and slide on my coat. I really did those moguls well on my back, didn't I, honey? Never fell down again. Skis up, on my back. There's a way. With God, there's always a way. God will make a way when it seems there is no way. He works in ways that we don't see. God will make a way for me. See, these are the things that, these give us the confidence because we're holding on to them, and then we're going to put them into practice. I'm not going to, you know. If my motorcycle won't start, I figure out why it won't start. I never use the kill switch on my motorcycle. I always just use the key. If somebody turns off the kill switch and I turn on the key and it won't start, I'm going, what in the world is wrong with the motorcycle? It used to be I didn't think about looking at the kill switch. And so I would be checking, see why nothing worked. And then finally I'd see that. Put it on run. Boom, she's ready to go. We can't let the enemy keep us always with the kill switch on. All we got to do is put it on run. Put it into practice. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I'm not saying that I've already achieved all these things, that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection. In other words, he had confidence that that perfection was waiting for him. He had every reason in the world to doubt. He just chose not to. We have reasons to doubt. We can always think of reasons to doubt. We can always think of failures that we've had. We can do that. Or we can think that this whole thing is based on God's plan. And I just want to be in God's plan. I just want to be about my Father's business. And he isn't making it complicated. He didn't ever intend for it to be complicated. He just intended for us to enter in. Just enter in, okay? Enter into the kingdom, now be a part of the kingdom. Look at it this way. When you die and you step into heaven, are you going to run around questioning what you can take part in? Or are you going to just enter in to the joy of the Lord? Are you going to enter in thinking, well, I don't deserve this? No, you shouldn't. You should enter in thanking God you're there. But you should take part in everything, right? Again, it's the picture of when you go to a buffet. If I pay to get into a buffet, everything on that thing is mine for the taking. The big test is not to take everything and spend the next day or two miserable. Actually, the easiest thing for me is don't go there. But sometimes we do. And I always want to get my money's worth a few times. Wouldn't it be good if we entered into the kingdom of God with that same attitude? I want to get everything that's mine a few times. It belongs to me. Jesus paid for my ticket. You know, if I go to a buffet and somebody else has paid, then I want to make sure I get their money's worth. I don't go in thinking, oh, I don't have to eat much. I didn't pay for it. No. I want them to feel good about their money too. Understand what I'm saying? So I want to please God. And he's not hard to please. This is my desire, to honor him. He knows what my desire is. He doesn't get caught up on my successes and my failures. He knows my heart. But since my desire is to honor him, then that gives me strength so that I will resist those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But if you don't have to resist anything if you're putting into practice what he's got you put into practice, because those things that are, they'll just fall off of you. While you're busy putting into practice those things. And it's, again, it's not complicated. It's not an assignment that we can't do. It's not anything like that. It's just enter into his rest. Just enter in. Now practice. Somebody that's in a batting cage in baseball, you know, they might be trying so hard, and a coach will come and say, just relax. Watch the ball. Now swing, crack of the bat. I think that's what the Spirit of God says to us. Look, just go put it into practice. Just go ahead. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Become as a little child, a little kid learning how to play t-ball. Swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing. Just, you can do it. You can do it. Just keep your eye on the ball. Sorry. You know? It's like might miss 50 times and then crack. Hit that ball. If you've ever seen a little kid do that, you know that they don't go like this after they hit the ball. Oh, I missed it 50 times before that. No. They hit the ball. They were the best.
We won, we won, we won.
We win, folks. We win. Jesus is the winner. And with him in you, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Paul also, when he talked to them, he said, look, he said, when he was talking to them about giving, he said, it isn't that I need a gift from you. He said, I want you the reward, to have the reward that Christ has for you, because you do. And then he said, and the same God that's been taking care of me will take care of you too. My paraphrase, but that's exactly what he was saying. Because you see, if we take that and we look at it and we say, well, you know, Christians ever since the beginning of starting to read the Bible, oh man, if I could just be like Paul, if I could just have what Paul had. Well, they forget they have to overcome what Paul had to overcome. They have to cast down all those memories. But Paul is saying, look, the same God that's been taking care of me is going to take care of you too. Put it into practice. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, stands, looks at us and said, would you just give me the opportunity? Just give me the opportunity to ever do everything I promised you that I would do. Because when you give me that opportunity, I will do abundantly above and beyond what you can ask, and people will see the things that I do for you, and they'll give glory to me, because you'll be able to say, it's not me, it's Jesus. So then when you pray believing. Then when you command believing. Not under pressure to perform, but out of the overflow, because it says it will become as a river of living water flowing out of us. This word is intended to pull the plug, so that we can flow freely without being compelled, but with confidence that it's God's idea. All you're doing is you have been made an ambassador for God, and all you're doing is going out and doing what you've been enabled to do. Promised that you would be able to do. When a president appoints an ambassador to some place, they go there and they are the United States in that place. And it doesn't matter if anybody likes who the president picked or not. They are who they are. God has chosen you and makes you real special. Amen? Let's go and represent. Father, in Jesus' name, we can do this thing. We can represent you in this world, and we can see you do in our lives and through our lives what we probably have oftentimes haven't even had the faith to hope for. We've been sidelined into thinking we just got to hope we can get to heaven somehow. But you have made the way for us to live and to enjoy the goodness of God now in the land of the living, and to reveal that to whoever has eyes to see. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.